Now, if you got your Bibles this morning, Romans chapter 11 and verse number 33, and then Colossians chapter number 2 and verse 3. If you can stand with us and it not be a hindrance to you, we invite you to stand while we read together the Word of God. Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 33. The message today I want to bring to you is I'm a poor rich man. I'm a poor rich man. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm a poor rich man. I might not have all the world's goods. Thank God I'm rich in eternity. Here's what the Bible said, Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Then if you look in Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now the Bible said there that God's wisdom and knowledge is greater than all the treasures of all the world. It's bigger than all the lotto. That lotto, I guess, just keep growing. I don't pay attention to it. But several $1 million of money. My friend, listen, God's riches are far greater than all the wealth of this world. And so I'm going to bring you that message to you this morning on I'm a poor rich man. Pray with me now. Father, we thank you today for the visitation from God. Thank you, Lord, that the windows of heaven have been opened. And Lord, we just pray that we'd be able to bestow the blessings of God today. Lord, that you'd lift us up into the heavenly places. Father, there are those out before us today that's going through a difficult time. Lord, there's those today that perhaps are discouraged. I pray you'd encourage them today and strengthen them in the inner man. I pray, God, that as they leave this place in just a little while, they'll be able to say, it's been good to be in the house of God today. I pray that you'd bless us together with all heavenly blessings. And Father, meet every need that's here today. If there's one lost that doesn't know Christ as personal Lord and Savior, may this be the glad day and the glad hour they come and find the all-sufficient. Now bless us as we open the Word of God. Anoint us from on high. Fill us with the Holy Ghost of God. Everything that's said or done, may it be praise and glory and honor to the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. Keep your Bible open, please, this morning into the book of Romans chapter 11 and then Colossians and chapter number 2. Now the Bible said, Paul said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, Paul could say, listen, beloved, it's good to know God. For knowing him, he said, I've got all the riches, both in this world and in the world to come. Now, friend, there's a lot of folk today that ask you the question, is it worth serving God? Is Christianity worth it? My friend, they ask you, does it pay to serve Jesus? I want to tell you something, friend. It pays to serve God. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad today to be named a child of God. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've been passed from death unto life. I'm looking for the day when the Lord's coming back. I've got everything ahead of me. I'm glad to say that God may be wise enough to know that there are some things you cannot measure by this world's standards. You might say, preacher, I've got a lot of money today. You say, I've got a lot of stocks and bonds and land and capital and everything else. But my friend, let me tell you something. All that is not worth a hill of beans unless you have the Lord. If you've got Jesus and all this other things won't matter a bit. I got news for you. One of these days, everything you've got, everything I've got, we're going to leave it all behind. I'm glad that God gave me knowledge and wisdom to know there's some things you can't put a price tag on. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't have a lot in this world, but you might be a poor rich man. You might have the Lord. And honey, if you got Jesus, you got it all. Say amen. If you got Jesus, my friend, you've got all the wealth and riches that this in this world and the world to come. But now in the time we've got together, and I won't be able to finish the message, but there are seven things that God made me smart enough and wise enough to know that you can't put a price tag on. You can't put a dollar sign on. I want to give you about three of those in the time we've got this morning. If you have your Bibles, look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. The first thing that God made me smart enough to realize is that I've got a faith that's unfinged. You say, preacher, what do you mean a faith that's unfinged? Here's what the Bible said as Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, when I called to remembrance the unfinished faith that is in thee. Now watch this verse. Listen to me. As Tina mentioned this morning, what a blessing it is to have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Let me tell you, moms and dads, let me tell you, grandparents, here it is. Here's what the Bible said. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfinished faith that's in thee, he said, which first dwelt in thy grandmother. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that I've got a history behind me. I'm glad to tell you I had a grandmother. I had a grandfather that knew Jesus. Amen. My granddaddy didn't get saved till he was 83 years of age. He was a moonshiner, a bootlegger. My daddy used to tell me on Fridays he would have to take the liquor down to the mill. My granddaddy made liquor and sold it. And then one day came that the sheriff came after my granddaddy and they knocked on the door. My granddaddy ran out the other side, jumped out and ran, and the sheriff came in and said, where's Tom? And the grandmother said, he's gone. And they looked for him. He stayed gone about a month. As sheriff finally said, I tell you what, Jenny, he said, you tell Tom to come on back home and I won't be after him if he won't make any more moonshine. And so granddaddy came back home. But thank God, when he was 83 years of age, the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus shone into him and he got saved. Say amen. He didn't make any more moonshine and bootleg whiskey, but he'd sit and cry and say, oh, what a life I've wasted. I wish I'd given my life to God sooner. Brother, let me tell you something. It's something to be said of a granddad or a grandmother that's sitting in this room this morning, that's under the sound of the preaching of the gospel. You train your children up. You train your grandchildren up. Let them see granddaddy loves God. Amen. Let them see grandmother loves God. When they come over to your house, instead of having them to go to the refrigerator and grab a beer out of it, thank God, you say, honey, go get the Bible and we'll read a portion of God's word. Amen. What a blessing it is to have a grandmother that knows God. But here's what Paul said. He said, I know that the faith that first of all was in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice. And he said, when I think about the faith of the two women, he said, I remember, I'm persuaded that's the same in you. You say, what does he mean, unfringed faith? It means true. It means pure. It means real. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. I've got a faith that's real today. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. You say, preacher, how do you know that this book is real? By faith. Amen. You say, how do you know that God's real? Because it's in the book. And by faith I'm saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But you say, preacher, what do you have faith in? Number one, I've got faith in God. If you don't have faith in God, as it's already been said this morning, you are a poor, miserable, wretched creature. You might have all the gold in Fort Knox, but if you don't have God on your side, you're a bankrupt person. Amen. But you've got Jesus and God. You've got it all this morning. You say, what kind of faith? I've got a faith in God. In Acts chapter 27, old Paul was in a storm. Oh, he was out on the wind of the waters, and there he was, and the sailors came, and the great storm, Euroclydon, was raging, a great hurricane, and there old Paul was on the board ship, and the sailors, men that were trained as to be mariners, men that were trained to go through a storm, all of a sudden that wind blew, and the thunder rolled, and the lightning flashed, and those waves got higher and higher, and those men said, listen, take everything, throw it off, the ship. We're going to go down. And then all of a sudden they were fearful. Brother, I believe they were biting their nails all the way down to the quicks. Amen. They were all just fearing. But then old Paul keeps them walking out. I don't know about you, honey, but if you've ever been out at sea, and that sea starts to roll and starts to rock, all the folks get seasick. Amen. They turn every shade of green there is. Brother, I tell you what, I've been out yonder and I've seen them. They'll turn green as a gourd. I remember one time we went out, and I'm getting off subject, sorry. We went out one time, I had a youth pastor. I was a young preacher. We went out and we went out to deep sea fishing. And we started out yonder, and we had me and another boy with us. And we started out and the whole boat was rolling. It was rocking. All of a sudden one of them said, "I don't feel too good." I said, "Go inside, sit down, get you some crackers and a 7-Up ginger ale. That'll help calm your stomach." Said, "Believe it will." He went inside, got him something to eat. He's eating a cracker, drinking a Sprite, a 7-Up. He got to feel a little bit better. He come outside. We were sitting out there. We was getting ready to go fishing. They was getting ready for that old captain. Said, "Drop your lines." We sitting out yonder. He said, I said, "Do you feel better? Do you feel better?" He said, "I feel better." He said, "I believe I'll make it now." I said, "Good." About that time, there's a woman up at the bow of the boat, honey. She done got sick. And oh, she went to the side. Oh, she let her fly. Amen. Oh, and when she did, though, listen, the wind caught that and smacked him upside the face. He's just lost it. He said, "I can't take it." Brother, let me tell you something, out yonder on the waves, these old sailors, I believe, they were just reeling to and fro, and all the wind was blowing, and the waves were raging. But old Paul, he come out, and praise God, I believe he's eating a sardine cracker, amen. He's out trying to drink a Pepsi Cola. He said, "Fellas, what's wrong with you?" He said, God stood by me this night, and God told me all's going to be well. He said, "Chill up, it's going to be all right." Brother, I got news for you. I'm on God's side, amen. And whatever this world throws at me, whatever storms may come, whatever distress may come, thank God I'm going through the storm because he's with me. All's going to be well. Amen. Praise God. Now, y'all don't make me have to say my own amens. Help me out this morning. Y'all say amen, can't you? Amen. Praise God. Number two, what do you have faith in, preacher? I got faith in God's ability. What do you mean, his ability? I'm glad God's got the ability to save. He's got the ability to reach way down yonder. As the songwriter said, he reached further down than I could ever reach up. He had the ability to rescue me and draw me up out of the miry pit, set my feet on a solid rock, establish my goings, put a new song in my mouth. As the psalmist said, he brought me up. He set me up. And thank God one of these days he's going to take me up. Amen. I'm looking for the day when the voice of the archangel of God and the trump of the Lord shall sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and that old cemetery out yonder looks like a top of a pepper box. They're going to come out of the grave. He's got the power to save. He's got the power to deliver. He's got the power to resurrect these old bodies. But then third of all, I've got faith in God's will. I got faith in God's will. 2 Kings chapter 4, there was a woman, and the man of God had said to her, "You're going to have a baby. You're going to have a child." She said, "Oh, don't tempt me. Don't listen, Elijah. Don't tempt me there." He said, "No, sir. You're going to have a baby." So that woman conceived. A woman of Shunem conceived and bare a son. Time went by. A little boy was 12 years of age. One day he come into his mother. Oh, he was out in the field and the sun was shining. And he cried. He said, "Oh, my head, it hurts." They said, "Take him up and take him to his mother." And they took that little boy and they brought him to his mother. By the time they got that little boy to his mother, he was a corpse. Life had ebbed out of his body. He was dead. And she said, "Listen, go out yonder and saddle that donkey." He said, "I'm going to go find a man of God." And she rode that donkey, and old Elijah saw her coming. And he cried and said, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?" And she looked at the man of God, and she said, "It's well. It's well. It's well. Listen to me, in the midst of trials and trouble, in the midst of pain and persecution, in the midst of death and disease, you can say it's well. It's well, because I know God's will. He's got a will. No matter what your situation is, God's got a will. Then number two this morning, you say, what do you got faith in? I've got faith that's unfringed. But number two, God made me wise enough to know something. I got number two, I've got a foundation that's trustworthy. I've got a foundation. Here's what the Bible said, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. And Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him to a wise man which built his house on a rock. He said, now the foolish are not so. He said, the foolish will go out and they'll build on sinking sand. And brother, let me tell you something. If you try to build your life on money, if you try to build your life on the accumulation of goods, you're building on sinking sand. Amen? You're building on sinking sand. Listen, the thing about money is this. You'll never have enough. You realize that? Say amen. John D. Rockefeller, when he was dying, they went to Mr. Rockefeller and they asked him, said, when do you have enough money? He said, after one more dollar. After one more dollar. Brother, let me tell you something. Money can become a god to you. And you try to build your life around money. You say, if I can get this job, if I can save a little bit more here, if I can tuck some more underneath the mattress, if I can just do this and do that, then I'll be financially set. Let me tell you something. With a swoop of God's one finger, he can wipe you out and you become nothing more than a pauper. Amen? You can become nothing more than a bankrupt person with a swoop of his one hand. I've seen it happen before. I've seen people that were wealthy and affluent, and all of a sudden, in just a moment's time, all they had was gone. Wiped out. They were left penniless. But I want to tell you something. If you build upon the rock, the Lord Jesus, if you build upon him, everything else is sinking sand. But I'm on the rock, hallelujah. And come what may, and the storms of life may come, and death may come, and disease may come. But I'm anchored on the rock, the Lord Jesus. Oh, listen. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:11, nor the foundation can no man lay. That's laying that is in Jesus Christ. If you're building on anything else today, you're building on sinking sand. Third of all, and I hasten this morning, number three. You say, preacher, are you a poor rich man? Yes, sir, I am. Because number three, the third thing I've got a friend that's true. Amen. I've got a friend that's true. I've got one that'll stick beside me no matter what happens, in the good, in the bad, in the daytime, in the nighttime. I've got a friend that'll stick by my side. Brother, let me tell you something. Proverbs 18:24 says, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's hard to find a real friend sometime, isn't it? Say amen. Have you ever had a friend you thought was your friend? I've had some of those. I've had some folk before that, they'd love you up. They put their arm around you and say, oh, I love you. And all the time they're reaching behind them to get that knife, putting you back. Amen? Y'all ever had that to happen? Say amen. You see, I've been there. Oh, listen, you say, oh, if I could find a friend. If I could find a true friend. And brother, I got news for you. There is one. Amen. That'll never leave you. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, there's a friend. He's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. I've got a friend in Jesus. So many folk today are fair weather friends. I remember when I was a little boy. You say, preacher, were you ever a little boy? I was, well, let me rephrase that. When I was younger, amen? Praise God. When I was younger, I had a fair weather friend. We lived in Raleigh. And I could tell on my hands how many friends I had, really. I had this one little boy. I never will forget his name. His name was Foy Beal. Foy Beal. We lived in a subdivision. My daddy was a builder, built the houses around us. And we lived there. And Foy lived across through the woods. And he'd come over. And they used to call me Frankie when I was little. Younger. and they'd call me Frankie. And he'd come over and he'd say, Frankie, you want to come out and play? I said, yeah, boy, let's play. We'd play, cops and robbers and Indians and all them good games, army, and shoot all the bad guys, amen. And we'd have a time. But then, oftentimes I'd say, I wonder where Foy is. He didn't come over today. And all of a sudden, my daddy, he was smarter than I was. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, that boy, he's a fair-weather friend. I said, Daddy, what do you mean, a fair-weather friend? He said, as long as he's got somebody else to play with, he won't come around here. But when he don't have nobody to play with, he'll come around. I didn't realize that, but he was true. He was a fair-weather friend. Y'all run into them before? You run into somebody, they just like you when there ain't nobody else around to like, amen? They just nobody else to stick up with, and they'll come around and hang around. But friend, listen, I'm glad to tell you, I've got a friend that's closer than a brother, one that'll never leave me, one that'll never be disappointed in me, one that'll stick by me through all of life's journeys all the way down to the end, amen? He'll be with me. And when we get ready to cross Chile Jordan together, praise God, his hand will be in my hand. Now I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Glory to God, I'll have a friend that goes with me not only to the end, but through the end. Amen. He'll be there when others will forsake him. There was a young man, about 21 years of age in 1840. He was engaged to a beautiful young lady, and they were to be married. He lived up in Canada. And one day, he said, let's go out and let's take a boat ride. And he said, we're getting ready to get married. Let's take a boat trip, just paddle boat. Let's take and go out on the lake. And so they got into a little boat and they started out. And all of a sudden the boat turned over. And this young man watched as his girlfriend, his fiance, the girl he was to marry, she drowned. And oh, his heart was broken. He come back and he never got over that. The time went by. He met another young lady. Oh, he thought this time around it'll be different. They too were engaged to get married. But oh, listen, sadly to say, that before they could get married, she contracted pneumonia and died. It was 1855. He himself got sick. Didn't have the money.